and welcome to It's All in the Stars. This is your astrologer, Hudson Chandler.
Hello, and welcome and to your favorite astrology program.
Hello,
it's All in the Stars.
Hi,
with astrologer Hudson
Chandler.
And now, here's your host for tonight, Michael Cervini.
An illuminating world of astrology and palmistry. Sherwin is a good friend of mine. He's also very much into astrology, and he really understands astrology. And some people go for years and years and years, and they practice all kinds of wrong things. In his case, right from the beginning, he's been right on everything. It's amazing how he's been like this. It's nice to have you, Sherwin.
Thank you. My pleasure.
A lot of things to discuss. We'll have it in three parts, I was thinking. First of all, we'll have Master Insight. We'll have some, we can have call-in also if you want to call in. And I'll give out the numbers, actually. Let me just give that out right now. The listening for all listeners in the U.S., the toll-free number is 1-877-876-5227. And if you are calling from Canada, the toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. Again, for U.S., it's 1-877-876-5227. And from Canada, it's 1-888-815-9756. If you'd like to email us, it's stargaze, S-T-A-R-G-A-Z-E, at astrotrends.net. And our site is astrotrends.net. And you can put your date of birth. At the bottom, you'll find you can put your date of birth and just click on interpretation. And you'll see all the planets and the interpretation right there. So how are you doing, Sherwin?
I'm doing well, thank you. Doing all right here.
As soon as Moon goes into Aries, all kinds of new things happen. And, you know, I think last time we discussed for the one before that every time Moon goes into Pisces, there's always some storm brewing up. And this one is no exception. And usually, and especially near that Florida, it's a perfect time for that. It's interesting, some events that happened, like when Moon went to Scorpio, 8-8-2008, and Russia went to Georgia, there was a big fighting thing there. And then it went to Pisces, and the storm coming up. In 2 days, it'll start being diverted. Just 2 days, that's all. Of course, this time it's a bit more critical because of the full moon also just before that.
Right.
That becomes very important aspect as well, as you know. So quite a few interesting things. Sherwin, I was thinking today we'll discuss the twins of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. And I look at the charts from some other actors as well. And people are getting some Mars-Saturn aspects. You know, it's interesting that, but we will discuss the world events a little later on. And, or shall we discuss the world events first? However you like it.
I'm sorry?
Actually, you know, we'll discuss astrology, some palmistry. You can keep on throwing all kinds of questions and or to clarify things also for our listeners. And it seems a lot of people have been listening to our show, Sherwin. I got a lot of email, but people are welcome to call in, not just for their date of birth, but if they have any comments or any topics they'd like us to discuss.
Certainly.
I'm here to help you also with that, too.
Absolutely.
So I was looking at the astrological aspects of the U.S., you know, when they laid the foundations of a lot of places, a lot of buildings there, the historical aspect of it, Sherwin.
Yep.
And there is a secret architecture of our nation's capital there, the nation's. And it seems that the foundation stone for the White House was laid on October 13th, 1792. And on their case, you know, they felt that the North Node was conjunct the 23 degrees Virgo, and I don't know, you know, how that is going to be balance and happiness. I'm not sure why. And other things I'm looking at that aspect, there was a time, see, August 10th of 1795, when stars Arcturus, Regulus, and Spica, they were rising on the sunset, they were forming like a celestial triangle, and that was supposed to be one of the major parts for them. Mm-hmm. And did you know that George Washington was a Grand Master himself, of the Freemasons?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he had Mercury in Pisces trying to Pluto. So he really was quite wise, actually. You know,
wow.
It's interesting that he had Mercury in Pisces, like Scientology's Ron Hubbard, was quite an interesting person. He was quite multi-talented, an engineer and all kinds of things. He made some really nice, those buildings, architectural buildings, except for his going off a tangent. Except he did not have the Mercury-Pluto trine that even Edgar Cayce had Mercury and Pisces, but it was conjunct Saturn. It gave him some business sense. And to me, Saturn can actually block the psychic aspect. It makes it too logical. It's a different part of the brain. Whereas George Washington had some real pure thinking. He had Mercury and Pisces trying to Pluto. It's a beautiful aspect, actually. Unfortunately, in the United States chart, there are two really, really negative aspects, unfortunately, and will always stay there, of course. One of them is Mercury opposition to Pluto, where you come to wrong conclusions about the divine truth and then try to force it other people. This reminds me of the time when Galileo, you know, when they, when Aristotle logic that the Earth didn't move. You know, Aristotle took this orange, threw in the air, and because it came back to his hand, he said, see, the Earth doesn't move, otherwise it would have gone to one side. Of course, it took 2,000 years for Newton off that to come up with the laws of gravity, you know, which gave it a different explanation for the same thing. And the first one really suited the church and their Earth-centered geocentric system. But all these people were tortured, like even Galileo for suggesting that the Earth, everything moved, I mean, Earth moved around the sun.
And, he was persecuted for that. Yeah.
Very much, And even this Bruno fellow, he said that the sun is a star, except it's close to us, etc.
Now, let me ask you, Hassan, is it only in opposition, but also, or also square as well?
I'm sorry, for what?
For the Mercury-Pluto, is it only with the opposition? Or
no, no, any other, conjunction, square, or opposition.
Okay.
Or quincunx, unfortunately, all of those aspects are when you try to impose your value on other people, which is exactly what America seems to do everywhere. Like here we have absolutely no moral standing, so Obama was absolutely correct. He was very thoughtful, I thought, in his speech, where McCain was very rambunctious, very combative, unfortunately, you know, and just giving his experience, at, you know, just putting his little PR thing that he was a prisoner, so he, and, you know, decided, so that aspect, you know, like, I mean, I don't know how that makes a person a good president, you know. Even the evil aspect, he said, you know, to defeat it, rather than, you know, just confronting it with the... But the way, I mean, the other ones, I mean, Saddam's son, or even Osama bin Laden, which I don't believe is involved in 9/11 anyways. Now, like, here's a person sitting in the cave, for example, comes and surprises him, and they say that he's the one who masterminded the whole thing, just conveniently at that time, and they need Afghanistan for all the oil, which the Taliban were opposing, so they had to get over that place. Unfortunately, because the Mercury Pluto square in Obama's chat also, he also, I mean, Moon Pluto aspect, so he also wants to go to Afghanistan too.
He wants
and even
to go
in
where?
Georgia, you know, they, you know, that Georgia, they're the fellow, the total puppet of their states. They want, you know, they want to completely bypass Russia and take all the Caspian Sea, bypassing them, you know. Actually, I think it's very, very wrong. This aspect. Putin plays his cards very well, actually. And, but anyway, so this, so the Mercury Pluto opposition in the United States chart, that aspect makes him impose the value on other people. I mean, two atomic bombs, and I mean, all kinds of things, and you know, we're creating destruction everywhere. No, and nobody ever talks about this Iraq war, like $10 billion a month that is costing them. All these programs in the states that could have been taken care of, right from welfare to education, to there shouldn't be a single person on the street. The other aspect, unfortunately, is the Mars Neptune square. And Neptune being the 12th house, which amounts to, which comes to all the drug addicts and the, I mean, they're number one in persecution. It's absolutely true. I mean, in incarceration. And here's a so the Mars Neptune aspect, which always indicates when there's the intrigue, the fraud, and where you get caught. Also, the whole world knows that also. So every time that Mars Neptune gets touched off by transiting Mars, then it becomes a major, like a scandal and all that. So it's coming up very soon, actually, the Mars-Neptune. It's a lot of mental stress coming in. The other aspect, which is dangerous every time by transit, I notice when Mars touches off Saturn in America's chart, that's a dangerous aspect. When the 256 Marines were killed in Lebanon, and they left Lebanon at that time. You know what's really interesting, that even McCain yesterday said about Reagan, how without firing a single shot, he brought the end to the Cold War. And I have no idea why, what they mean by that. I mean, it has nothing, not one iota to do with Reagan. Just because he said in a speech that bring down Mr. Gorbachev, bring down the Berlin Wall. It was all Gorbachev's doing that he did all that. In retrospect, I'm not even sure if that was a good idea or not, because, by the way, Gorbachev is born to Mercury-Pluto opposition as well.
Oh.
Very intellectual, Mercury and Aquarius, like John Roberts, the Chief Justice, but in opposition to Pluto, where you do something and either you're discredited, or like Boris Nelson was born with that, Reagan was born with that, Mao Zedong was born with that, Jamaica's ex-dictator Michael Manley was born with that. These are all Mercury-Pluto aspects, oppositions. In fact, his Mercury-Pluto opposition exactly touched off America's, Michael Manley's, and he was one person, you know, they were always in loggerhead with each other. Jean Chrétien's Mercury in Capricorn, opposite to Pluto in Cancer, is exactly opposite to America's, you know, Mercury-Pluto opposition. And so he was one of the very few people who actually opposed the Iraq War, as you know.
Yes.
So I was looking also at the fact, it was quite surprising, most people don't realize, that the British, actually, they burnt the White House. They may not realize it. And the White House came into being on October 13, 1782. And, Pluto was in Aquarius at that time. Now, Mercury was in Libra at that time. And, there was a Scorpio, but it was burned by the British on June 1st of 1812. And Mars was in the ninth house at that time. And I believe it was in the ninth. It was ninth coming into the tenth house. Yeah, tenth house. But Saturn was at the very bottom of the chart. See, right at the bottom. It's like there's like a new beginning coming up at that time. Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, everything was at the very bottom. And when that happened, actually. And Pluto touched off that Mars-Neptune aspect in America's chart also at that time. And see, right now America is sort of riding high still, but they have Saturn moving into the 12th house. About 4 or 5 years later, everything starts moving down. There's a major sort of a maturity coming up in America's chart. You know, it's like the Saturn return, which happens late next year and the year after. But there are some really positive aspects also happening. There's one thing which is very positive is that Jupiter is touching off Mercury, so it's a very spiritual aspect. The next 4 or 5 months, they could really, really do something constructive, if they really want to. But the negative aspect is, in 1929, when I observed that 1929 crash happened in October 29, that Saturn was the last degree of Sagittarius, which makes sense, doesn't it, Sherwin? The Sagittarius is all, stock market and all that part. And then 87 October, I predict based on that. Now, the same thing is coming back in 2017 for the market crash. However, Pluto is at that same degree when the market crash happened in 1929 and 87. It's the last degrees of Sagittarius till November of this year. Pluto is in Sagittarius. And this hasn't happened ever. Because there was no stock market 256 years ago. So this is the first time, but Pluto is much more severe than Saturn. It's not just like a crash or something. I don't think it's a crash. I think it encompasses more than stock market. Everything where they take a gamble, everything which is like a speculation, including like all these mortgage things, for example, they were taking chances on people. You know, it's not stock market, but it's taking chances. That's why everything has been collapsing. And this also, at the same time, is touching off Mars in Mars in Gemini in the U.S. chart. So Pluto opposed Mars like a direct hit, and that goes on till November of this year, end of November of this year. Dangerous aspect, actually. Then after that, it slowly starts moving away. So we are not in very easy times till about end of November. But Pluto touching off Neptune and Mars, both of them being touched off, actually. So it's not an easy aspect, actually. But we're finished by November of this year. But it'll be interesting, when Mars also touches the package off. I believe in about 2 weeks' time or something. Let me just check. Actually, every little thing matters, Sherwin? Hi, Sherwin, are you there? Hello? I think we have lost Sherwin here. Maybe Sherwin can call us at the number. I will just give another number, the 1-888 number. If Shervin is listening to this thing, it's actually 1-877-876-5227. And let me see if I can get them on the Skype. That, and then we'll come back to this thing. Just give us a few minutes. We'll edit this whole thing later on. So it was nice to have Shervin. I was wondering why we're not getting any feedback from Shervin. It'll just take 2 seconds. And for the listeners, anybody who's listening, you're welcome to call in. From Canada, it's 1-888-815-9756. And let me see if I can get Shervin on our line. Unfortunately, we've got to live with this thing. A little while still. Anyways, I will keep on going. It seems we have lost. I'm not sure about this Skype thing where it is. If I knew his number, I'd be able to call him back. Let me just see. But anyone who's listening, oh great, there we have Shervin. Okay. Let me just give Shervin the number. 1-877, and maybe all of you, instead of calling that number, you can just wait for Shervin. 876-5227. So we'll just be joined. If you just bear with us for 2 minutes, we'll get Shervin connected again. We'll have some interesting discussions about Angelina Jolie's and Brad Pitt's twins as well. And also about something about the elections, maybe, and about the different themes in acting as well. I'll be about to, Shervin is just calling in. Great thing we've got the technology, the Skype, that we can actually message each other also at the same time. As I've said, from January of this year till about till December of next year, throughout 2009, we have some absolutely fantastic aspects going on actually. And as far as the technology is concerned, when Jupiter moving into Aquarius, I mean, you'll have a revolution like nothing we've experienced till now. It competes to the next level that we're going. Right from cell technology, we'll be able to wear like bangles to faster speed. And I believe that photons and light will play a much, much more important part to speed it up. Shervin, are you on the line?
Thank you.
How are you, Shervin?
Hi. Sorry, I got cut off there.
We are back. Somehow happened. Okay.
We are back. That's Saturn Mercury, right?
I'm not sure at what point did you go up.
I think about 5, 6, 7 minutes ago or so.
All right. No, what was I discussing, you know, at that time?
You just started on the White House burning and all that.
Oh, right. I see. Okay. No, I was also saying that in the state's charge, since they have the military opposition, that they try to impose their will everywhere. And the people who oppose them, it's interesting, they always choose the dictators also. And Jean Chrétien was opposed to their policy, of course, and Jean Chrétien's Mercury was in Capricorn, opposition to Pluto and Cancer, exactly opposite to the United States. So no wonder they really butted heads, you know, and he was totally opposed to their policy.
Right.
John McCain, you know, like he doesn't seem to understand the gravity of what he's saying. It's very, very sad, you know, that he's so combative and all the people are so prejudiced and racist. Unfortunately, they just go along with it without any thinking whatsoever.
Oh, happens all the time, yeah.
I know, yeah. Like the evil, for example, you were saying, like Osama bin Laden is even, you know, I mean, he was actually supported so much by the United States against Russia for 8 years. Here's a person who was a multi-billionaire. He left everything to fight in the trenches with all the Afghanistan people. He had nothing to drive all the Russians against. I mean, how many wealthy people would do that, actually? For 8 years, and then suddenly, and he was in his cave and all that just because he wanted to go to Afghanistan for the oil from the Caspian to all the pipelines, and Taliban was opposing. They used that as a great gesture to that.
Right.
And it's the same thing they're trying to do in Georgia, to use all the oil from Caspian Sea. And unfortunately, Israel has also participated in this whole conspiracy, unfortunately. More than $1 billion invested in Georgia, and planes and helicopters and machine guns and everything. And they were trying to, of course, Russian Putin certainly has a point there, but they didn't go so well. He was trying to do the same thing there. And Condoleezza Rice goes there. I mean, total hypocrites. I mean, the whole theme is interesting, you know, how it comes up. But I cannot understand, you know, that when they try to impose, is it purely just because of the money, all the huge money is tied up? Like, do you have any sense in their mind that $10 billion a month being spent in Iraq? Now they want to turn the same thing in Afghanistan. And even Obama wants to do that, you know, he's got a Moon-Pluto aspect. And when they go to Afghanistan, it will cause more destruction there. And then yesterday I was watching the CNN, they were showing these women there, you know, and they were trying to show that how they were suppressed and all that. It has absolutely nothing to do with the women, their education, nothing absolutely at all. It's like what one, and they were also talking about these two women apparently in Iraq who had committed suicide and they were shot or something. I mean, for all we know, anybody could have shot them, including the U.S. I mean, they could have just shot them and say, here are people who are suicide bombers, and look what these people are doing to them, to use that to justify. But November 2008, we can't wait for that. As soon as that comes, all this has to be gone. And they won't have all the... There's no moral ground at all. So we do hope now. In the convention, you know, there was a talk that Hillary, more than 50% would vote for her to come in instead of Obama. I do not see any chance of Hillary whatsoever.
Are you as a VP?
Actually, I cannot see her as president at all. That's what I should say. I shouldn't say the Democratic convention, because the only way if she comes in is only because the Democrats are supposed to lose. Because all forces, all the negative forces, people who want to destroy all these aspects and all the war they're for, that's all that McCain's crowd and people he's supporting. So that's the only way, because Hillary, 100%, she's not coming in. Her planet couldn't be in worse position. Saturn is at the very bottom of a chart, and throughout next year, from end of this year, is opposing her moon. And so I just don't see the aspect at all. And then late next year, in fact, she has some sadness in her own family, because Bill Clinton's chart is not very good for next year, end of next year, when Saturn tests off his Mars for the heart, etc. But I do hope that Obama is able to get in. He does have some very dangerous aspects, not easy time at all. In fact, you know, his plane, as you know, that we had said that there is a danger aspect for him, which, you see, Uranus is opposing his Mars. Now, that's an aspect of freak actions, a head and spine, but it also is a very dangerous aspect as far as aviation is concerned.
Right.
Let me just pull up his chart for a sec. Then we can see, here's his chart. He's got Mars 22 degrees of Virgo. And let me just show you. Let's take the next 2 years, actually, and see how long this aspect continues in his chart. We have this visual thing right in front of us now, so we can see instantly. So you see, the Uranus Mars opposition from mid-2008 is just starting, actually. It's exact on 12th of March of 2009, and it doesn't leave his chart till 2010, actually. But it's already starting. Now, this is not a very good aspect for the aviation, actually. No, this goes on till about mid-2010. So he's got this major action configuration. Within that period, he's exactly in 2008, and Saturn also touching off his Mars. And exact is on 29th of August of 2009. So it doesn't leave till next year, actually. So it's already, so he's got that from, just about October onwards. October right till about February. And the fact that the plane has a mechanical failure, so that aspect's already started. So from now till about March, April of next year, he's got both Uranus opposing Mars and Saturn conjuncting his Mars. So both aspects are happening.
Yeah.
So those are the only two difficult aspects that he has. But he has Jupiter touching off his Mars, trining his Mars in November, which is a very, very lucky aspect. Actually, it's exact on 2nd of December, but he can take it throughout November and December, of course. That would be extremely, extremely positive for him. That's why I think he'll definitely take the election. And the only thing we have to see, they try to, of course, discredit him and try to keep on. You know, not one question they asked about Iraq yesterday. All the experiences, what would you do about Iraq? Not one question, can you believe it? But no. They absolutely have no concern for the more than a million people killed in Iraq. Absolutely, you know. Ridiculous, yeah. But I was right about the Iran thing, you know, Shervin. Everything will come close, but something will happen, and there's always some major aspect coming up where it distracts everybody. And so, at one time it was Katrina, at another time was caught with all these planes getting caught in a sandstorm. Another time there was another storm, and then this time it was in Russia, in Georgia, which had a very, very important aspect from Israel and the U.S., both aspects. The neocons aspect is a whole thing that they want to do. But now, actually, Russia will have a land route to Iran as well. And I think they are going to try to protect more. But you know, the thing is, what I find interesting, Shervin, whether we agree or not with the policy. See, in my case, I never vote. Because even to tip the balance even by one vote, I never want to contribute to that. I want to remain completely unbiased, purely astrologically. So I like to meet the ground. Like, for example, McCain has some good aspects here, Venus and Virgo. For example, I personally like Venus and Virgo. There's a definite concern for the other people and the masses and all that. However, his Mercury in Libra reminds me of a person who can pay money to build a church but hardly ever goes there. It's a, and they always look at the, it's not a wisdom aspect. Like what Obama has is Mercury in Leo plus Venus in Cancer, so the family values are very strong.
Yes.
That part. You know, yesterday he said that his greatest moral failure, he felt, was the breakup of his marriage, a first marriage. And his wife was sitting in the audience, actually, current wife, and I wonder, she must have felt also, that he's saying that was a failure, so that means as if he's regretting marrying a second time, or I wonder how to take that part.
Yeah, that does sound strange.
Yeah.
But do you think...
By the way, even George Bush has a Saturn Mars aspect right now going on. It's almost finishing in about a month's time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that's why they were talking about the impeachment and all these things. Musharraf has a dangerous aspect also till about end of August. But after end of August, he's completely clear in September. And unfortunately, all these other people, there are so many crooked people there. Even as Zardari, for example, they call him a 10% man or something. He always takes that 10%. And here is a person for $10 million or something. It was a big thing in Swiss court and all that. Musharraf gets these people here. He's not a good leader himself because he is very flexible. He's too flexible. That's his problem, Musharraf. But he's a very honest person.
Yeah.
But he does have Scorpio rising. That's the only thing. And his planets are right on top. Saturn is right on top, so I certainly don't see him leaving in a hurry at all.
I see.
So, and I was also looking at the world events, like, for example, the transits in the world. So we don't really have some major negative aspects going on now. The major aspects are finished, really.
For how long?
For the next 2-3 months.
Oh, I see.
Because I was thinking they might try to pull in something to get McCain in.
Hmm.
But, I mean, I had a very fast look at that. I didn't spend too much time on that, but... Yeah. And, but November it's the first Tuesday, is it, the major asset that comes up?
Well, the election, November 4th.
Oh, November 4th. Actually, I do have the chart for that, yes.
Yeah.
Oh. So that's the time for Astro Insights now. You know, Sherman, I wrote a long time ago in November 86, that people who have greenish or hazel eyes, are they really unfaithful?
I remember.
It's a very interesting article, actually. And a lot of people with greenish and hazel eyes thought that they were supposed to be unfaithful. I said, no, that's not it. Because if you have greenish eyes, it means many actors, many actresses are born with that also. People are very idealistic when they project fantasy on the screen. They are born with this aspect. And,
which aspect? I'm sorry.
And they need romance and marriage. And if they don't have romance and marriage, they look for it elsewhere. So the onus is almost on their partner to provide the romance.
Hmm. I see. And that's Venus in a fire sign as well?
The Venus, as long as it's aspect to Neptune. If a person has greenish eyes, then normally there's definitely either Moon Neptune or Venus Neptune aspect here.
Yeah.
Or Pisces rising, for example, can also make personalistic, but you also take it into consideration the culture as well.
Yes.
By the way, I was looking at Jimi Hendrix's chart, and there was a real closeness to your chart. And
really?
I thought there was a very interesting parallel there, because Jimi Hendrix also had Mars in Scorpio, but it was opposed to Saturn. Now, the Mars-Saturn opposition is a very sort of rebellious aspect. Like, for example, you know that Gene Simmons of KISS,
yeah.
He had this show, I think, yesterday, the day before yesterday, you know, with this young kid from, took these troubled kids from England. I made them into a rock thing, and it was a really good show that they put on. And this little kid who was, you know, he had so much of, like, anger the way he was perfect for rock music. And that's exactly what Jimi Hendrix was born with. Plus the flexibility and manual dexterity of his Mercury in Sagittarius, Venus in Sagittarius, just like yourself, Mercury Venus conjunction in Sagittarius, so... it's a fast movement to the hand and all that, but this deep, painful blues type of aspect from that Mars and Scorpio opposition of Saturn. So I was thinking that people who are very, very good rock musicians and blues and all that, they need that Mars and Scorpio aspect of Saturn. So it's not just in martial arts like Bruce Lee, but the Mars Saturn aspect, it seems, any time when there's this, all this frustration, which can be directed in a positive way. So it's really, really interesting how these things come up.
Yeah, it's amazing his chart, how identical. It's so close to mine.
I'm sorry?
Oh, my God, that is unbelievable.
You have it, sir?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it online on this website. He was Sagittarius rising?
Sagittarius rising, yes.
Yeah, but so many other things are, you know, wow, unbelievable.
Pretty much like you, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have Venus and Neptune conjunction. I have a Pisces rising. And, of course, because of my race, my eyes are not going to be green, but although there are some, you know.
But you definitely have the idealistic side, absolutely no doubt. And that's
I have light eyes, of course. I have almost hazel eyes. I mean, they're very light brown, hazel, almost hazel, but not
green.
Oh, quite.
I see, yeah.
Yeah.
But to start with Mars and Scorpio, like you have Mars and Scorpio too, of course, in the 8th. And other things I was thinking about, I pulled out the certificate of Marilyn Monroe. On June 1st of 1926, July 1st, 1956, when she converted to Judaism, she went, you know, just on a whim, she went there, and Moon was exactly 19 degrees Aries, conjuncting her sun sign, right in the ninth house.
Wow.
Which is the ninth house, of course, is philosophy and truth and all that, and Jupiter was transiting her first house. Jupiter was in Leo in the first, and Moon in the ninth in Aries. Is that interesting?
Very.
Such
very
a clear indication, you know. Her Venus was 28 degrees of Aries in the ninth, which is the love of God also. Like, people don't realize it. And Jupiter was exactly touching it up, exactly trining from the first house. And, of course, she was involved with two attorney generals, people deal with the philosophy of the nation. They're both lawyers also. The Attorney General and the other things that I looked at. So we
you know,
have,
it was interesting. There was talk, by the way, that at one point John F. Kennedy found out about the secret programs going on, about the Black Op projects and things like that. And
oh, yes. Yes. And he was also against the Federal Reserve, I believe.
Yes. And he apparently said he wanted the federal government to come clean about the disclosure about aliens. And,
yes.
And of course, it didn't work out that way.
No, so that's right. Yeah.
And, you know, but there's talk that he wanted them to come clean.
Very, sure.
Yeah.
You know, Mars is actually just now, it's really interesting. The next 2 days are rather critical because Moon is in Pisces.
Yeah.
And in the sky, there's Mars in Virgo. Exactly touched off that. You know, so Pluto, imagine there's a grand square being done right now. Like in the United States chart, Pluto is in Sagittarius, Mars is in Virgo, and Uranus is in Pisces. And that whole package, tomorrow and the day after, Moon also touches off. And all of them opposing the Mars-Neptune in the United States chart. And I'm just finishing saying before, the Mars-Neptune, which is always danger from ocean, from the water. And it's like Pearl Harbor type thing. That attack is getting touched up exactly by Pluto, Mars, Uranus, and now Moon. And Moon is in Pisces, which is, of course, the ocean and the storm, all the devastation, all the storms and all that. The next 2 days, and after that, as soon as it goes into Aries, it'll all finish. Okay, now I have the charts of the little ones of Brad Pitt and...
Angelina Jolie,
that's right, yes. So here's a chart of...
I'm quite surprised at how quickly they've amassed all these children.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, Leo rising, I didn't realize it, Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt is Aquarius rising.
Oh, he has Aquarius rising. Oh, you know what? You're right, because I had written about him that his planets are moving up, and I couldn't understand how, if it's Leo rising. You're right. I've got this. The Cancer Leo rising, I think that's Angelina, I guess, yeah?
Yes, she's Gemini rising.
I don't see her Gemini rising. You know, I really think she's Cancer rising. Cancer with a lot of Leo in the first house.
You know, you're right. Her face also looks kind of like the Moon.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. I think she's 28 degrees of Cancer rising, with Moon, Mars, Jupiter all in the ninth house, and all in Aries.
Wow.
And she does all these stunts and everything and all that too. You know.
She does. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, she might have. Late Gemini is possible, but for some reason I think there's a lot of Leo there also, you know. Actually, Gemini rising would put Sagittarius and Capricorn in the 7th house, but I think Sagittarius is part of a 5th house, Scorpio-Sagittarius. And also because she has Neptune, she would have it in the 5th house, and all the adopted children and everything.
Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
But, so you know, I'm looking on the celebrity birth data on zodiacal.com, and it says 9:09 a.m., which makes her Scorpio rising, and it says...
Oh, no, she's not Scorpio rising.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Angelina?
Yeah, and it says the source is website. I don't know whose website, not her.
Oh, no.
No, it doesn't make
sense.
Oh,
definitely not, no.
Well,
no, she was born at 9:09 a.m.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles, California. Now, in not, you know, I think he was born at, around 6:45 p.m., their son, actually. I think they have, you know, I put it as a bi-wheel, so I didn't put their own chart directly. But let me just see. I'll go and mention in a sec. That's right. They both have Cancer Leo in the first house, very much like their mom.
Yes.
That's the aspect, yeah. And now the thing is, both the children have Mars-Saturn conjunction in Virgo, so definitely not very good for constellation and planet area and all. That also indicates an accident configuration for the parents. Like, for example, and maybe that's offset by Angelina, and in fact, both the parents doing these, these other, guns and all that. Like, if an astrologer asked them, supposing they were not actors, and an astrologer says, for example, my God, I can see guns and fire and bombs around your parents. And the astrologer didn't know that their parents were actually actors. And they're doing that, just like Mr. and Mrs. Brown. I mean, there's so much of bombing and trying to kill each other and all.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. That's
so
true.
So maybe that offsets the theme, but Mars, Jupiter, Mars, Saturn is a very real aspect, actually.
Mm.
So definitely there's that danger theme.
Yeah.
Let me just try to get the little children's chat also where it falls. You see, another person who has this is Prince William. Has Mars Saturn conjunction Libra in his ninth house, which is getting touched out, by the way, end of next year in the year 2010. There is a danger to himself and Prince Charles. But his mother died in Paris, in a foreign country, Libra, the fashion capital. I'm looking at North's chart. She has Sagittarius rising, by the way. And Vivian also has Sagittarius rising. And they both have this right near the 8th and 9th house. So there is a danger in driving. So the Mars-Saturn conjunction is part of the 9th house. So there is definite danger in driving. And they both have Venus in Cancer and Mercury in Cancer. So they are actually not as risk-taking. The Mercury-Pluto opposition is there. It's a powerful aspect, actually. And they will be known, actually. You know that Leo is part of the 9th house and Venus in the 9th house, too. You know, when you marry foreigners. And I like the Venus position, though. It's a grand trine in water sign. Venus, Moon, Uranus, grand trine. And, of course, they paid, what, $10 million or $15 million for their pictures?
Oh, unbelievable amounts, yes.
But, of course, the whole thing went to charity. And they have the Moon Neptune square. I think their parents would not want them to be actors. They both have very good business sense also, but they do have Leo right on top. Many writers are born with that. And including Sylvester Stallone, now he has Mercury in Cancer as well.
Yes.
It gives exceptional memory, actually.
Oh, Mercury in Cancer because of the retention, the water?
Yes, yeah.
But here's the interesting thing.
It's almost like an emotional memory, you know, they have.
Ah, yes. Okay. But Mercury in Pisces, usually they don't have good memory, right?
Well, it gives a bit of a wandering mind.
Oh, wondering. Okay.
Yeah.
And how about Sagittarius?
But they don't forget. They don't forget any slights and all that.
Ah, yes.
But for Sagittarius, they normally have a very convenient memory, I would say. like when they, for example, astrology. You see, the reason people are Mercury and Sagittarius remember charts very well is because when they look at a person, they're able to recreate the whole chart instantly because they really see the truth. When you look at a person, there's a real astrological reasoning behind it.
Yes.
And how they act and all the aspects. So they're able to recreate. It's like our first languages, you know. So when we look at a person, we can see that those qualities about the person.
Yes. I find also the cars. I can remember cars and, cars and things like that I can remember. But good luck remembering, sometimes something simple, It's amazing.
Yeah. But if all the listeners who are listening to our show, you'll find that this year, actually, from this year right throughout next year, there's a major seven-year cycle for the signs of Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. But Sagittarius, Pisces, and Gemini will really thrive in this aspect, especially Gemini and Sagittarius, because all the delays, etc., it hones their talents, makes them like a real genius. They're able to actually apply the knowledge. Like Newton, for example, was born with the Saturn-Mercury aspect. Whereas Pisces and Virgo, it can give them some little heartaches, it can make them a bit more pessimistic also.
Yeah.
And they can be a little too down on themselves also. That's something they have to be careful. But Mars is about to go into Libra, It has been Virgo, but the next 2 days, it's really interesting, Shervin, that how it's coinciding with all these major storms in the United States. I think this is going to be a big one, And it also coincides with all the banks and all these things, a lot of things collapsing also, But there's a complete restructuring coming on. It would be so nice if they actually restructure the whole Federal Reserve, which is a privately held fund.
Yeah. It's a big scam, Reserve. Yeah.
Such a big fraud, everything done from New York.
Yeah.
No conscience whatsoever.
But do you honestly think that would be restructured? Do you think they'll be able to pull that off?
Not the Federal Reserve. I don't think they'll do that. But I think the whole... like people who are into speculation, all that. Even oil becoming a speculative market.
Yeah.
McCain can say about solar wind. Now he's just going on the bandwagon for all these things, but he's being paid by all the oil companies in the first place. Just like those ads by the oil companies. It sounds so hypocritical.
By the way, do you think with Mars going into Scorpio that the price of oil will drop more or go up?
You know, usually when Mars goes to Scorpio, it becomes a very, very vindictive aspect. And let me just see when it is there. Do you have that with you, Cole? Let me just have a quick look here.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, right now the price of oil is coming down again, thank goodness.
Yeah, it definitely is very disruptive for it.
Yeah.
We always find that when goes to Scorpio.
Oh, so
the next major aspect is October 4th, it goes to Sagittarius. So October is not a good month for oil, definitely. Very volatile aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely would be. No doubt about that, yeah. And by the way, in about a week's time, people, all this Bush and Bill Clinton and all that whole age group, including Musharraf and all the big, they're coming into a bit of a nightmare period, the last 2 weeks of August.
Yeah.
And then that aspect is slowly going away.
The 40s age group, yeah.
Yes, exactly, yeah. 40s and all, and then later on a bit, 50s. The 60s age group will be affected in October.
Mm.
That's when I think we'll come out with some scandals and all that about Obama also. They'll try to come out with something for him.
What about, you were talking...
About 10, 15, if I put it. That
you were talking before about Leo in the second house. What about Leo in the sixth house of work and job?
By the way, mid-October till end of October is when there's a danger aspect in Obama's chart. Sorry, you were saying...
No, I was saying, you mentioning Leo in the second house or ninth house. What about Leo in the sixth house of work and job? And
well, then it becomes part of the sixth and seventh house. For example, if your workplace is on Charles Street or Victoria Street, or there's something to do with the monarchy, or you're dealing with exclusive aspects, that's one thing. Or you meet a lot of celebrities and CEOs through your work.
What about if it's fifth and sixth house?
Well, it's about a fifth house, so your children, first of all, would be very dramatic and theatrical, very beautiful-looking and very outstanding type. And also, you'll be known for your hobbies.
Yes. Yes.
You actually have it in there, Cancer and Leo, in the fifth house.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, so you'll get along really well with Angelina Jolie.
Right.
You need to find somebody like
job,
that.
I mean, I know, of course, the best thing is to have Leo in your second house, but if you don't, I figure maybe in the sixth.
Well, fifth house is a fantastic one too. I mean, you have very, very close to. In fact, to me, it's a better than an ideal man's chart. An ideal man's chart, if you see, like, not ideal man, I should say, for example, all the qualities of a man, it would be Aries rising.
Right.
The Pisces rising gives it that gentleness, that spirituality. As you said about feminine psyche. I think we have a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm an Aquarius, 2/12/48.
Okay.
And I'm thinking of leaving my mainstream job and supporting myself in a more artistic way. Do you see that as a good plan?
Let me have a quick look. You said February the 12th?
Yeah, 1948.
1948. Just give me 2 seconds.
Sure.
You know, I have a cousin actually in Chicago, a brilliant psychiatrist, and he was born in February. And let me just see how close your chart is. Absolutely brilliant. He's also a musician. He's also an artist.
Closest
one to my talents. The only thing is he's not into sports. you have Mercury in Pisces, I see. He was born a bit earlier. He was born with Mercury in Aquarius. So you're very, very, very sensitive, actually.
Yes.
And Venus in Aries here. He has Venus in Pisces. That's right. So the charts are very different.
Uh-huh,
4 or 5 days difference. You do have very good aspect also for if you want to take any courses this year, by the way.
Okay.
And you also are excellent when it comes to graphics, when it comes to interior decoration, to design, any aspect of there's an artistic side for sure in you.
And can I actually support myself with this and leave my mainstream?
Oh, definitely you could. Yes, absolutely.
And it's a good
and
flow
for that?
And you have
a Mercury Pisces, so it's not important for having like a exact paycheck all the time, for example.
Oh, no,
you're definitely
no,
not
no.
like a 9-to-5 routine person.
Yeah, that kind of kills me, actually, to do a 9-to-5.
No, you definitely are not, yeah. And it's about time you took some chances in that, yeah. You know what time you were born?
Yeah, 10:03 p.m. in West Virginia.
10:03 p.m., I see. I'm just going to, since we don't have too much time, I'm quickly just
going
to put around...
I know I have.
I think you might have Libra rising.
I do. 13 Libra with Neptune on the horizon.
Oh, wow. See, that Neptune is other than 12th house. If you were ever involved with a married man, then Neptune is a 12th house.
Nope. Not unless he's married to me.
But within the first house, it makes a person very idealistic about themselves, and when they want to really in meditation and all these aspects. You really should be in counseling, guiding, helping people. You're so good with children and old people, and definitely through your hobbies. You've got a fantastic chart, and you should have also on the internet. You have Aquarius and Pisces there.
Right.
Something which has to do with crafts and children. You need an artistic work environment for sure.
Okay.
Well, what are your hobbies, by the way?
Excuse me?
What are your hobbies?
I just discovered painting, but I've been a tarot reader, and I do women's circles.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. No, I know that you don't really like give astrology. You are much more to all the tarot and
pharmacy
would also be quite good. So you're very good in counseling, actually. But the artistic thing or inspirational writing and inspirational, you know, when you look at a person and draw something based on that, or paint something for that.
I want to make I call it Wear Your Prayers, and it's like your intention, your dream. I want to paint it, and then you hang it up.
Beautiful, beautiful. You need to be near the ocean and the water from time to time just to replenish your soul, because you're very sensitive also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Empathy.
It's like you've got a Mars Jupiter trine. That's what gives you a sudden burst of energy, makes you more optimistic.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a really nice placement. I like that.
In terms of the chart and what's happening these few years coming up, this would flow perfectly with...
But since you know your exact time birth, we can send you a report. We can email you the report. If you just send me the details at Stargaze, Stargaze, at astrotrends.net, or you can just go to our website, astrotrends.net,
yes,
and you'll find our reports and everything. Just a 12-month forecast that will give you exactly which is the best time for what.
Okay.
Like, for example, right now Mars is in your 12th house. You've got to be very careful of your health for about another 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
But it's a good time to clean up all the basement and all the old things and getting rid of things, for example.
How about being alone? I'm very much in a solitary path right now. That seems...
Well, Saturn is touching off your moon, you see. That's one of the reasons also. It's going to be touching on it off, and that it creates a bit of a manic depressive phase. You've got a moon, you're in a square, which is very good for visual things. But with Saturn touching that aspect off, it's like a T-square. That will mean that you'll need more iron, you'll need more sleep.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll definitely need to look after that aspect a bit more. But the next 3-4 months are very, very positive for you.
We use
the touching of your moon for property matters, for spirituality, for the mind expansion.
Yay.
Give us a call. Actually, I'll give you my number also. Anyone who wants to call us at 416-497-9000.
Mm-hmm.
And I always call back right away, because we have a North American plan.
Terrific.
Thank you very much for listening to our show.
Thank you. Namaste.
Thanks. Hi, Shivan.
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Yes.
So, sorry, you were saying about Leo in the sixth. And
I guess people don't realize you're Persians. I'm sorry, you were saying?
Oh, you were saying about Leo.
Leo in the fifth and sixth. That's very, very positive for your hobbies, of course. You're supposed to be famous for your hobbies. That's
right.
And acting is most definitely there.
Right.
But
right.
Any time when you take any workplace, if it is a royal name to it, like exclusive place, for example, that is very, very positive as well for you.
Yes.
I think we only have about a minute left.
Yes, we do.
And there was something... the next 2 days, we'll watch that storm in coming into Florida and Cuba, I guess.
That's right.
Tomorrow and the day after. It's a very, very inspirational time for music, by the way. And I always have my first Oasis. I have it all the way. And when you see the spring, for example, let me just put it here. Oh, that's not it.
Yeah.
You know, we actually, the guitar key, if I just put it one chord, right? I think I've been working on this, I can see. Value this. But everything to the string instrument, beautiful concert prayers, going to any place of worship, the things that play and the things together, that's what I recommend for the next 2 days.
Right.
So, Shivan, we'll see you on next Sunday.
Yes.
And in the meantime, if anybody has any, I think to write to myself or to Shivan, you can always write to me at stargaze@astrotrends.net. And any questions like that, any queries, or your own research, like this, the site, put some radio, and if you want to ask any questions, you're welcome to. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you,
and we will see you next Sunday.
Yes.
Until next Sunday, I wish you all the best, and good
you
luck.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.